lives up with God's Word, how you obey God's Word, and how you choose to follow God's Word. I can't do that part for you, but you're doing it, and it's so fantastically wonderful. And so I'm very, very proud of you. You know, God has made it available for you guys to be pretty much like Him. You can't be God, okay, so don't get that in your head. But because of God in Christ in you, you can certainly look like Him, and you can certainly act like Him, and He's given you tons of power just like Him. So the world is yours. Isn't that something? And you can grab it if you want, or you can sit there and watch it go by. Well, before I start, I know you got something to say to me. Something about I am. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. ¿Y en español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice. Soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. You know, I always have to do that E for Catherine. She has that thing in her head that we always have to do, and so that was for Catherine, always will be. I'd like to teach today on you being the captain of your own soul. And there's a starting point for that, the beginning of power. And to start the teaching, I'd like to share a poem with you. For life is the mirror of king and slave. 'Tis just what we are and do. Then give to the world the best you have, and the best will come back to you. You're in control, or you should be in control, of every aspect of your life. No exceptions. Not one. No, not even that one. You are to be in control of everything. Do you remember the old English or Indian sage who told the young child, there's two wolves within the soul of man, one good and one bad, and they're always battling each other for dominance. The little child looked at the old Indian sage and said, but which one wins? The sage looked down at him and said, the one you feed. And so our quest in life, so that we can grow as God intends, is to feed the right wolf, so to speak, the right source, the right power, the right choice, and thereby become who we know we can be. There's not a person in this room that believes that you can't become something great. And the reason for that, you've seen the millions go before you. History has documented many that have accomplished such great things. And you look and say, why not me? But you can. And so you believe you can. And so I'd like to feed that desire today. I want you to have all the health, all the wealth, and all the happiness that you desire. And so does God. So here's how to receive them. Ephesians chapter 1. I know you're familiar with this. But if we're going to understand the beginning of power, then we must understand what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 18. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. In verse 18, the word understanding means deep thoughts, the eyes of your deep thoughts. And when it talks about eyes, it's talking about something regarding your perception. With two eyes, you have great depth perception. With one, you don't have any. And in the Gospels, they only had one. If thine eye be single, remember that Jesus said? That was in the Gospels, but here in Ephesians, the eyes. So God has given you the ability to perceive within your deep thoughts. Your deep thoughts is something more than just your passing thoughts. It's down inside your heart. And he's given us exceeding great power if we believe. And our power is based on his power. It's according to his mighty power. And so we have this power available to us. The beginning of power starts in your mind, your deep thoughts. Romans chapter 12. What a joy to know that God is not partial, that God has shared with us himself in every way. Oh, certainly we cannot have the throne itself. Personally, I don't want it. But everything else we can, because we're joint heirs with Christ. What you give, you get. What is it that you give to the world? What is it that you get back? Well, you know what you give to the world based on what you give back. The best will come back to you. We have God's power within us. And I've told you now that all power, the manifestation of that power begins in your mind. And we have access to it. But in order for us to manifest God's power, we must be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you ever hope to enhance your life and to bring into your life the health, the wealth, and the happiness that you desire, you must begin a transformation process. It begins in your mind. But Jerry, what about my big toe? Doesn't my toe have something to do with that? No. What about my weightlifting? Doesn't that have something to do with it? No. What about my diet? That's gotta have something to do with it. Nope. No. It's all about your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's got to be a transformation that takes place. I got a question for you. Who wants to transform your mind? Does anybody want to transform? The reason I ask that is because you must first be willing. If you're not willing, then nothing's going to happen. That's a choice you get to make. I'm going to leave that with you. If you want to do this, you can do it. So our power base is our mind. And you know why that is? God made it that way so that we would be in complete control of every facet of anything to do with us. We are in complete control. Most people don't want to believe that. Most people refuse to believe that the mind is the starting point of all power. That the mind is the starting place for a changed life. They don't want to believe that. They want to go through programs and diets and this and that. But they don't want to tackle the mind. Well, the mind's a pretty hairy beast. It's scary because it's wild. And it does what it wants to do if you don't make it do what you want it to do. And so, yeah, it's a little ominous. Wow, that mind, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just, it's a crazy thing. But you know something? If you ever want to get in control of your life, you've got to start with your mind. If you ever want to change your life, you've got to change your mind. If you ever want to transform into your dream, you've got to transform your mind. You don't transform anything else first. Nothing ever comes before the mind. The mind is the beginning point. That's why your power base is your mind. And that's why you're in complete control. And that's why you can always be successful. Always. You have to master your mind before you can master the world. Try it any other way and you won't master the world. When I say the world, I'm talking about your life. Everything about your life. God wants you to transform yourself and allow His Word and His abundance to become the master of your will. Your will is what directs you, is what you allow or disallow. But He wants you to be in control of that. And He wants you to allow His Word and His abundance to be the key player in that. Your power base for life, another way to say it, begins in your mind. So you know that if you're going to climb Mount Everest, you have to have a base camp, right? They always do. It's always in every movie. You have to have a base camp. So for power, you have to have a power base. Somewhere to start. Somewhere you come back to for fuel, for refreshment, for rest, for whatever you need within that environment. Well, physical strength is wonderful, but its power pales in comparison to the power of your mind. It absolutely pales. We've been taught years ago that, and you might even remember this, the renewed mind is the key to power. Remember that? Well, that's kind of what we're talking about. But physical strength pales in comparison to the power that you have between your ears. You know, maybe you feel like you're so stupid that none of this could ever work. How many people feel you're stupid sometimes? I know I do. I do stupid things out on the soccer field all the time. Nowhere else. But I've been on that soccer field. Just kidding. Oh, you know better than that. Yeah, don't you dare say it. Your greatest priority in life should be to grow. That's what life is all about, growth. Find another reason. I don't know another reason. God made it so that you grow. And you can't stop that. Plants grow, animals grow, everything grows. They split, they divide, they just keep doing this growth thing. And your greatest priority in life should be to grow. To change, to transform into new, better, wonderful. And all that begins in your mind. It doesn't begin anywhere else. The reason I'm belaboring this point is because so many people don't believe it. They don't want to accept it because they hate the hairy beast. It scares them. It scares them that they're going to have to take time to think. To deep think, to bring order out of chaos, and to bring power out of lack, to bring abundance out of what seems to simply not exist. Oh, it's interesting, all right. You know, if you had nothing and you wanted something, you'd still have to begin with your mind. And that's why it seems scary to people. But I have nothing, they say. But if you want something, you have to start working your mind. You can't do anything else first.
If you ever do anything, you've already done something with your mind. So your mind is base camp. Your mind is your power base. Your mind is your starting point for your dream transformation. What do you want to be? What do you want to become? What do you want your life to be like? What kind of happiness do you want? What kind of health do you want? What kind of wealth do you want? Well, it's all going to start from ground zero, base camp of the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I believe that if you get this point down, we can move at light speed through many, 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 many other aspects of this transformation. And that's what we're going to be doing over the course of this next year. We're going to spend as much time as possible in it so that your life becomes transformed. It's not a one-day teaching, I guarantee you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. Oh, there's a lot in here. Ooh, lots. Really lots. In these two verses, we have one of the greatest keys to the renewed mind, to our mental transformation. The thoughts of the mind can become obscure, blinded to receiving God's word, but to receiving anything. It's principle. The devil does this to people when they can't receive God's word. He just blinds their mind. But any man, any woman, any child can open their minds, regardless of the odds, if they have a willing heart. They have to decide, I want a transformation. I want to change. I don't care how bad you've felt in your life at different times. You've always been able to get to that one place that says, I don't want this anymore. And then you start on the road up. And you always have that ability. That's why the willing mind is so important. Because whenever you finally get to that place in your life, and some people it's like, finally, then you start moving up. Well, what we see also in this verse is that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, is something that shines into the man's mind. Now, that's the point I really want you to get out of here. In other words, God's image can literally be placed, boom, into a man's mind. What is the gospel of Christ? But words regarding Christ. All images are words. That's right. Words shine into our minds, allowing us to find our way. We're not lost, we know that. But if you want to establish a new way, then you've got to establish new words. In your mind, you've got to imagine new things in your mind. Just like the gospel of Christ is filled with words which create images, and then your life takes that direction, so too must you transform yourself with new images. Same principle. It's not changing. It can't change. That's why it works for everybody all the time. I have a question for you. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. I have a question. What started everything? And I mean everything. Genesis chapter 1, for Dave's having a fun time over there. He actually got one right. Okay, Genesis 1, chapter 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. S is on heavens. In the beginning, God. Okay. But I got another question for you. What started that? Ooh. Okay, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Well, these are just questions. They deserve honest answers, don't they? You ought to be asking questions like this if you want to be able to tap into God's power. If you want to be able to live the life of God in Christ in you, well, you're going to have to do the same kind of thing He does. Okay? You can't do it your way unless your way is His way. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Well, what was before the world? The Word! The Word came first. And this, is, in principle, is the same. It has to work with you. The Word always has to come first before the creation. Or before the substance, or before the manifestation of your dream, of your desire. You can't change this law because God made it, and God operated by it, and He gave it to you so that you too could operate by it. So from this we know that the Word was in the beginning, nothing else. That's all God had. It's like the person I said, well, they sit there, they look, and they go, I have nothing. What do you do then? You have to start with a word. You have to start with words. And as you build those images in your mind from those words, then substance can come forth. But not until the words are there. And God knew that. That's what He did. God started things with His word. So the word started everything. And that means the words in your mind start everything. You might think that your emotions came first. But no! They didn't! That's why counseling works. Because the counselor can go in with words and change the words that you started your emotions with. See? Your words are just as significant as God's. So these same principles apply. And that's why God's Word, thereby your words, must direct your life and become the master of your will and soul. If you ever want to transform yourself, this is where it gets serious, okay? It's very serious now. If you ever want to master your will, and master your soul, it's going to come down to the words that you allow or disallow. And this is the hairy beast. This is the scary thing. This is the monster coming over the hill. When I was at the gym, there was a song on the radio. It's like, the monster's coming over the hill. And I go, what? Monster? I mean, who would be so stupid to believe that? Unless you're talking about the mind, of course. Just kidding. Okay. But what are words? Words are mental images. Very clearly. You got to understand that. Before you can accomplish anything, you must have a very clear mental image of what it is you want to do or want to have. I've talked about the steam engine. The old guy that invented the steam engine. Man, he had to picture it first. Down to the nuts and bolts, and then he made it. The light bulb. How many pictures did he go through until he finally got the right one, but he kept changing the pictures. Boom, finally got it. Right? Electricity. The telephone. I don't care what it is. The invention you want to make. If you want to invent something, how long have you spent imagining that thing? How's it going to look? How am I going to write it down to the patent office? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. So, you really do have to push yourself on this. It's not just sit idle by. you really, really push yourself. And this is why you are challenged in this field of study. But this is why the payoff is so great. Because if you give out that kind of thing in the world, you're going to get the good back. If you really want happiness and health and wealth, then you're going to have to give something out. Nothing's free in life. Everything has to be paid for. You've got to buy everything. There is no free ride in life. I don't care what you think. It's just not free out there. If you want something, you could pay for it. There's the old saying from the Greek philosophies, the God said, take what you want, but pay the price. So you can take anything you want, but you are going to pay a price. And that's just the way life is. Do you remember the story? I'll tell you what, turn to Genesis chapter 30. Do you remember the story of Jacob and Laban and Rachel? Jacob wanted to marry Rachel. Laban was Rachel's daddy. And he did not want this marriage to happen. So he told Jacob, yeah, I guess so. But if you're going to take her, you got to be my slave for 7 years and take care of the cattle and the goats. But Jacob loved her so much, he said, okay. Well, when the 7 years were up and he went over and knocked on Laban's house, said, hey, I'm coming to get my Rachel. Well, you can't have her. You got to do it another 7 years. Dishonest guy. 7 years? That's a long time. 7 years again? That's even longer. 7 years went by again. Jacob said, well, it's time. I'm going to go get my Rachel. Laban said, nah, tell you what, I'll even pay you. I want you to stay a little longer. And, okay. And he said, I'll tell you what, here's how I'll pay you. All the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the speckled and spotted among the goats, you're going to get. Okay. And what'd he do, though? He went and took out all the speckled and spotted ones and left all the solid color ones and said, good luck. The guy was just lousy. He was so dishonest that he removed all of those kinds. So there was not even a possibility, seemingly, for Jacob to have any spotted animals of any sort. But Jacob evidently knew of a greater life principle before he ever shook hands on this agreement. Regarding that first come the words, images, then comes the substance. That guy knew something. Well, let's read it. Genesis 30, verse 37. So here's old Jacob. Now, he had taken all these animals 3 days' journey away from Laban. So there's no way he could be spied on. It was pretty cool. Anyway, verse 37, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and pilled white streaks in them, just pilled it down, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. Just because of what they were looking at. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. So now he's just letting them look at the animals that have the marks on them. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. So he wouldn't let Laban's animals see these images, the rods in the water. And it came to pass, verse 41, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. What an amazing story. He understood this whole concept about images. And animals do that. This is law. He didn't just make this up. Do you know the cuckoo bird is so lazy that it flies to other birds' nests and sees what their eggs look like and comes back to its nest, lays its eggs of the same color and same design. Did you know that? And then it flies away, and so the other bird comes and says, oh, that must be my egg, because it looks like my egg, and it sits on it. So the cuckoo bird doesn't even have to sit on his own egg. God just put this in nature. It's really amazing. Now, I'm not saying go lay eggs, but anyway, the principle exists. Word first, images, and then the substance comes. Well, you know that everything God ever created, the word had to come first. What did he say in Genesis chapter 1? And God said, let there be light. Okay. Word first, then came the light. And this is in principle true to this very day. Material substance always follows the word. I told you though, this is a hairy beast. People don't want to tame the mind. They don't want to believe this stuff because it just seems too hard to grasp. Well, some people get it. What about God said, let the earth bring forth grass? He had in his mind a very clear image of what grass looked like. In other words, he had already formed the mold in his mind. This is the way God did it. Read it in Genesis chapter 1. The Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth. He did this. He did it in his mind and every herb of the field before it grew. He made the mental image, the mold. This is what he did in his mind. And then all the elements from the earth were drawn and that substance then came about. It needed only to draw upon the energy around him to fill the mold and give it material form. You know, the reason this seems so outlandish to us at times is because, well, we're not God. And, well, we really haven't done much of this. But you know, there are literally hundreds of laws that control your life. The law of believing. You've heard that one, haven't you? The law of supply and demand. There's so many laws. The laws of attraction. Mendel's law. I mean, there's laws and laws. Well, the more you become familiar with this, the more it can work for you. But you do have to do something to make it become familiar. Number one is to understand your power base is your mind. That's your base camp. And you need to put the word in first. That's absolutely vital because then you have the image of what it is you want to create or make. Use the word you choose. So first the word, then you pour into that mold the elements necessary to make the image manifest for all to see. Well, what do you want to see first? Health? Happiness? Wealth? For perfect health, begin by taking the life out of everything that detracts from your health. For instance, distorted images of sickness or imperfection. And you charge those nerve centers of yours. By using the God in Christ in you to then accomplish the goal that you're seeking. So you image the perfect mold of it so perfectly, so clearly in your mind's eye, and then you just say, God, I need you to supply all of my need so this thing can come to pass. Remember the 10-90 rule that I taught? It's your job to come up with the words, the images, and the believing. That's the 10%. The 90% is God's. He then has to bring it to pass. But that's what he wants to do. So you charge the God in Christ in you to reach out His millions of hands to bring all those things into your life that you need so that that image becomes substance. You've done this. You think about this. I'd like you to go away this week and think about how many times you've really done this. When you've been healed, when you've received money, when you've made a new friend, when you've had an answer to prayer, you've done this. But you can do this with accuracy, precision, as you learn it more. Turn to Mark chapter 11. First, you have to have the word, and that's the mental image, and then comes the creation, the substance. Aside from the word and the image, the most important thing that you must have is believing. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, would not these be desires? The words that you put in your mind, your health, your wealth, your happiness. What things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive and ye shall have. Jesus taught this. He was no stranger to this concept. For riches, the same principle holds true. Take your life out of every image of debt, of lack, of unfilled or unfulfilled obligation. Take the life out of it. It's just like that balloon we saw floating around in the news. Get the air out of it, and it can't float anymore. You take the life out of the negative things. And you do give negative things life in your mind. Your fears, your worries, your sicknesses, everything. Your lack. But you don't want to feed that wolf. Take the life out of those things. The God in you is a God of plenty. That's where you put your energy and your believing. Well, this God cannot owe money. This God cannot have lack. This is the God that lives in you. And this is why I want you to, in your transformation process, to stop looking at yourself like some pew sitter in some church or in some religion, strapped down to some system. I want you to float freely with the God in Christ in you. In God's realm of abundance, of greatness, of creation, of everything that He can do and is, and has put in you to do and is. I want you to change your life. I want you to see yourself as a master of your soul, the captain of your soul. I want you to see yourself as somebody that can do any good thing that you image. I want you to free yourself. Make an image of that. Imagine yourself cutting the tethers of the things that are holding you down in life. And then you go and you change. And nothing holds you back. Nothing holds you down. No fear, no lack, no negative. Nothing. You never feed life into those things again. You don't even talk about them. You don't need to talk about them. My wife and I had an interesting conversation. And we realized there is a very distinct difference between saying, look, I've got a problem right now, and number two, always talking about your problem. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you should tell somebody if you have a need. Look, I need you to pray for me. I'm going through something right now. That's not being negative. That's asking for help. But if all you do is spew out the negatives of what you've gone through, that's not helping anybody. Now that's feeding your negatives. Do you understand the difference? Gosh, this is powerful. Last week I taught you about judgment comes now for people who speak idle words, because you reap what you sow. There's no circumstance powerful enough to force God to live in poverty or want, and this God lives in you. If you're ever going to accomplish the greatest things in life, you must flow with life, not against it. And you know what that means, to flow with life instead of against it? Oh, you can try to grow up crooked in a field of straight trees, but you're not going to last because it's contrary to nature. Oh, you can try to swim against the tide, but it's eventually going to wear you out. You ought to swim with the tide because it's against nature to do otherwise. Oh, you can try to resist the wind, but you ought to go with the wind. Or design a sail system, if you're going to use a boat, that switches so that you can go either way, and that's just what sailboats do. It's quite interesting, but you must learn to stop fighting the things of life that are designed to sweep you ahead. If you go with the current, you're going to go at light speed instead of stopping dead in your tracks. Learn to go with the things of life instead of against them. And that applies to the God in Christ in you. God has no lack. Then why should you? God has no sickness. Then why should you? God is love. And that means that He's happiness and joy and the greatness of all the wonderful attributes that He has to give. So why shouldn't you be like that? Do you know that God is entirely devoted to your advancement? Entirely. There's nothing He doesn't, there's no good thing that He doesn't want you to accomplish. It doesn't matter what it is. What's your dream? Well, that's what He wants for you. What's your good desire today? Well, that's what He wants for you. The only way that you can be tied down by debt or limitation of any kind is because you have insisted on it. You have, not God. Your God, the God in you, is not a God of lack. He's not a God of poverty. He's a God of supply, of abundance. That means that you've worshipped a God of want, not of plenty, if you have lack in your life. So I say to you, stop tying the hands of God in you. Tie your own hands that seek after that material thing that has that paltry power, and just release God's. That's what you need to do. So why not give God a job? Why not release Him? Why not let Him work for you? It's His total desire. He wants to see you grow and live and become His dream, His image. So you make the mental images of what good things you want, then you release God in your life to begin to supply your need for those things. And you know what it says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to supply every need, but you've got to come up with the words. You got to come up with the images. He's not going to do that for you. And then you'll see your dreams come to pass. And don't wait until it's all manifested. Once He supplies one thing, use it. And don't look for signs. You might not see anything falling, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that you use what you have. And you believe in this principle of supply, that He will supply. He will constantly supply, but you keep the word in there. You must keep the image in there, and you must believe, and that He does all the rest. Joe mentioned it when we started the fellowship about that tree growing out there, but it's the same with plants. You have a whole field where you've cultivated it, and you put the seeds in, and you water it, and you put your fertilizer, you nourish it, you do everything you can, and all of a sudden you start to see those little sprouts. It doesn't just pop up like a full tomato plant or a full-blown oak tree. Sometimes it takes years, but that's okay. But you see the sprout, and when you see that sprout, that's the supply coming in. So whatever He gives you, use. and recognize that He's working. And you know something? The law of sowing and reaping, I said there's a lot of laws. If you just sow a little bit, you're only going to get a little bit. If you just put a little bit into this, that's all you're going to get back out of it. If you come up with your word, you create that image in your mind, say, this is what I want, then you give up on it a week later, that's all you're going to get. You got to be committed to this. God was. Do you think He said, no, I think I want grass. Maybe we'll do light. I don't know. Gosh. No. You've got to be definite. You've got to be committed. You've got to be sincere. And you've got to believe. Well, do you want happiness? That's the third thing. I think all of us do. Well, the method is no different. And this is where the God of love comes in big time. Because what is love but giving? If you want happiness, what you need to do is give. You give to your heart's content. You give to people. And as you give, you'll receive. And what is it that you'll receive? Whatever it is you're giving. If you're giving love, you're going to receive love. And if love is happiness, because when you love somebody truly, isn't it that you bring happiness into their lives? You do whatever you can to bring happiness into whoever it is you want to bring happiness to. Or whoever it is you want to love. You spend your focus on that. If you really want happiness, you've got to be a bearer of happiness. You get what you give. You reap what you sow. With money, the man said, I have no money. I have nothing. But then you can give in other ways until something happens. But I don't know anybody that doesn't have at least a penny. The same with love. Everybody can love, but they say, what is love? I say, it's happiness. What can you do to bring happiness into somebody else's life? And you can always give as much as you like, because nobody can take your ability to give happiness away. Nobody can ever remove that. That is the one thing in the midst of all the chaos in the world that can never be removed from your store of abilities. The result of unselfish giving always results in getting. Always. Remember how I said a long time ago, love begets love? And we went off on this begets thing. Everything begetted everything else. Take your life out of every thought of enmity, of repining, where you disappear, of unhappiness. Take the life out of those things. Instead, see yourself in your mind's eye as giving happiness, real happiness, to all whom you would have love you. Imagine that in your mind's eye. Then set the God in Christ in you at work to supply every single element you need so that you can do that, and thereby making your loved ones even happier. And as fast as each opportunity presents itself, use it. You got to be running on this one. Running. I was talking to my wife about some of the, we talk about this stuff, I guess, quite a lot. And, I was telling her, I said, it's like riding a bicycle. I think I even said this to Jeremy. If you're going to ride a bicycle, you got to have energy to pedal. And when you pedal, you go somewhere. But you got to have energy. So everything takes energy. So you've got to feed that energy with your passion, your words, your images, and your believing. Somehow you've got to get the machine rolling. You get the steam engine producing steam. You put the coal in there and it gets all nice and hot. Okay? But you've got to get the energy. When we go work out, the first thing we do is we go warm up and raise our core temperature. Then it's easy to expend energy. Of course, you have to have eaten before that. But you got to have energy. And that energy eventually transfers into motion. And what is it that separates us from other people as we accomplish our goals, but our greater motion allowing us to overtake and seize what it is we desire? So when something presents itself, an opportunity to make somebody happy, use it. Use it with conviction, with your energies, with your believing, with motion. Overtake that thing and do something with it. No matter if it's just to say a pleasant word, a nice smile, to bring about a happy thought, it doesn't matter. You get what you give. Use it. And in the using of it, you'll find yourself doubly assured of the happiness that is coming back your way. So you need to learn to let go of the things that trouble you. You let the life out of them. Stop feeding on them. Stop feeding that wolf. Stop thinking about them. Stop dreaming about them. Stop letting them trouble you. I think that you could exercise yourself a little bit in this. And maybe if you're particularly burdened with excess negatives, that you could challenge yourself and say, well, for 30 seconds, I'm not going to have that. And you just relax your mind and stop it. And your goal maybe by the end of that day is to be able to do it for 30 seconds. And then maybe in a couple of days to extend it to 1 minute. And then maybe in another couple of days, a couple of minutes. And before long, you'll be a master of that part of your life. But you can do it, and you must learn to let the life out of those things that cause you to go against the very currents of life that will take you where you need to go. Be like the sun. You know, you're the one that creates your own system, okay? The sun in the solar system, it radiates to all the things under its power. It gives out. You must learn to give out things within your life, within your sphere of influence, within your realm of dreams, so that you get back what it is that you desire. You're the gatekeeper of the system. You should never allow any thought in that doesn't belong, and you should allow no thoughts out that don't belong. Both apply. Nothing should ever have access or egress without your giving it the approval. Ever. Learn to accept the acceptable and to refuse the unacceptable. Replace those lifeless images with images of life and abundance. You have to determine what is lacking in your system. And then you bring the words in, you image it, you create that mental image, you believe, and then, you know what? That thing is yours. And how do you know that? Because my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is unlimited supply. He lives in you. He has no lack. And all of that is yours for the taking. But pay the price. Be willing to pay that price. To hold those words in your mind. To image it. And then to believe and trust in him that it will happen. Well, what do you believe? Do you believe in fear? Do you believe in negatives? Do you believe in sickness? Then these are the things that you shall have. Don't become the victim of personal impotence or of undesirable external situation. Don't. And if you are, stop. You have dominion over everything God has given you. So exercise that dominion. Not only in everything you think, but in everything you say. Everything. If you say it, the law of attraction immediately kicks in. Immediately comes into play. And it begins to draw from God's unlimited storehouse. But if it's something negative, it also begins to draw. You can't stop the law, but you can control which part of it you use. If you don't like what's flowing your way, then you must stop it and start a new flow. That's your job. That's the way life is. So
So be careful of what you say. Understand this law of attraction. It's worked for you and against you since the day you were born. Wah! Wah! And what'd you get? You got food. But if you got really mad at somebody when you figured out, oh, I could really piss them off, then they'd run away. Or maybe you got a spanking when you did something wrong. But you started figuring this one out from the very beginning. I know David Ray did. Oh, cat in the refrigerator. You cannot have anything without believing. You must build your desire along the lines of your good needs and wants. And believe with passion and intense desire that you shall have those things. Learn to attract to you what you need. And I already told you, God supplies everything. But you got to turn it on. You're the one that's got to crank up. Do you know that to get a train rolling, it takes 90-95% of its power, but then once it's rolling down the track, it only uses about 5%, even less. Isn't that amazing? So this takes a lot of energy to get going, but expect that. That's a law. God will make your word substance and will provide you with your health, your wealth, and your happiness. God designed you this way, and He will ensure above anything that as you operate the laws of words and images and believing that you have those things. I'd like to read a poem to you to close. The world stands out on every side, no wider than the heart is wide. Above the world is stretched the sky, no higher than the soul is high. The heart can push the sea and land farther away on either hand. The soul can split the sky in two, and the face of God will be let shine through. Be the captain of your soul today and forever.